Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
When you, as a child of God, have the Zoe kind of life, the Bible says you will have joy.
In this message, Pastor Neil explores the deep connection between joy and our intimacy with God. True joy isn't found in circumstances, achievements, or temporary pleasures. It flows from a close, abiding relationship with God the Father. Pastor Neil explains that there are three kinds of life. Bios, our physical, biological existence. Sush, our emotional and psychological experience. Zoe, the divine spiritual life God shares with us through Christ. Only Zoe life unlocks authentic joy. It's God's own life dwelling within us, growing stronger as our relationship with Him deepens. While happiness often depends on what's happening around us, joy is different. Pastor Neil describes it as a sense of undisturbed peace, purpose, contentment, and well-being coupled with a positive expectation and anticipation of God's best for our lives in every situation. He challenges us to reflect. Have you held on to the joy you once had? Or is it time to rekindle that closeness with God? Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson. A study of 1 John. Joy through intimacy with God.
So our focus this morning will be joy through intimacy. Joy through what? Intimacy. Now, within the first four verses, the Apostle John answers four questions I want us to look at. He answers four questions. The first thing he talks about is that where does eternal life come from? He answers that question because he says you can only have intimacy with God if you have eternal life. All right? So he answers the question, where does eternal life come from? Secondly, he talks about what is eternal life. In those four verses, he answers all these questions. And then thirdly, he talks about why he is proclaiming this eternal life. Why is he telling people that this is important? And finally, he says, there is a blessing you possess when you have eternal life. And he calls it joy. He calls it what? Anybody here who needs some joy? I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness is about what is happening, right? But we are talking about joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So please, the synopsis is very simple. You can only have intimacy with God if you have eternal life. And once you have intimacy with God, as a result of the eternal life that you have with Him, one of the things it does, it produces joy. 1 John chapter 1. Let's pick up from verse 1. I'll read from the New International Version if that is okay with you. 1 John chapter 1 from verses 1 to verse 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. All of us together, let's all read verse 1 again, shall we? Please read verse 1. Go. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Verse 2, let's all read. Go. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Verse 3, we proclaim to you that we have seen and heard so that you also may have intimacy with us. And our intimacy is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, come on. We write this to make our joy complete. Amen. Now, let's try and unpack this by simply just observing the text, because this is a study of an entire book. So starting verse 1, he says that which we have what? Seen, right? from the beginning. That which was from the beginning. Everybody say from the beginning. When you read the scriptures, there are three beginnings. Say that with me. There are three beginnings. The first beginning we find in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning God created the what? The heavens and the earth. So we call it the beginning of creation. The beginning of what? Creation. How many beginnings did I say we find in the Bible? And number one is what? The beginning of creation. The second one is the beginning of infinity. It's in the book of 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. Where the same apostle John was writing, and he always wants to go back to the beginning. And in John 1, 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word. Notice how 1 John, he says, the Word of life, which in actual Greek, he's saying is the Word that gives life. All right? So in the beginning, I'm reading John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? He is not referring to a beginning that you can count. He's referring to the fact that if the Word existed in the beginning, it is the kind of beginning you cannot even call a beginning. It belongs to infinity all the way up there. Who knows the beginning of God? Nobody. All right? Now he comes to the book of 1 John, this letter, and he points to the third one, which we just read, which is the beginning of the incarnation, when Jesus took on flesh, when God became man. Amen. And John says, we, that is himself and the rest of the apostles, he says, we saw him, we were with him, we heard him, we looked at and touched him. So please notice how he's defining intimacy. He's actually defining it. He says that whenever we have fellowship with him, it is because we have what? Seen him. We have heard him. We have looked at and we have touched. In fact, the meaning of the phrase looked at, I think in the Hebrew, has to do with somebody who goes into a theater hall to watch a drama. And they sit there to experience what is happening. So John is saying, we didn't only hear him and see him, but we actually experienced them. We experienced them. Then we touched him. Then he says, all of us who touched Jesus, who were there, who experienced him, we experienced something. What is it that they experienced? He says, they experienced life. Say that with me. They experienced what? There are three kinds of life when you look at the Greek terminology. We have what is called the bios kind of life, out of which we get the biology. Bios, your physical life. Then we have psuche, which is your psychological life, right? Which has to do with your will, your emotions. Those things give you life. Then he talks about the third one, which he calls Zoe. Let me just look at some of these from the scriptures. Luke chapter 8, verse 14, we see the bios life, where we read that the seed fell among tongues, and they were choked by the pleasures of life. You remember that phrase? The word life in this context is not Zoe, is not Suke, it's actually bios. Right? So it is that the seed, do you remember the parable of the sower? Jesus said that the seed that was sown, and he began to explain, he said, the seed that fell among tongues were choked by the pleasures of this physical life. Right? That word life there is bios. Amen? In the book of Matthew, we see an example of the soul life or the suke life. Matthew 16, look at verse 25. Whoever wants to save his life, he's not talking about your physical life. Whoever wants to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his suke for my sake, the scripture says, they will what? Find it. What is he saying? He's not saying God is not interested in you losing your physical life. That's not what he's after. But he wants you to give your mind, your will, your emotions, everything to him. That's what that verse means. He says, if you can lose it, if you can give it to me so that my spirit will be the one who is in control of what you do, then he says, you will find it. Amen. Then he talks about the Zoe kind of life, which we call the divine life, the God kind of life. And that is what we see in John chapter 1, verse 4. Anybody to quote that scripture for me? Anybody? Come on. In him was what? Zoe. And the Zoe was the light of men. So here he's not talking about bios and suke, right? Anytime you read a scripture, sometimes it's important to understand which word has been translated in the English. Some of you might be saying, but Pastor, why? Because, for example, I love my wife. I love ice cream. If I love my wife as I love ice cream, then I don't love her, right? But the English language makes it difficult because it simply uses the word what? Love. But if I took you to the Greek, there are almost four or five words. There is eros, which is erotic love. There is philia or phila as in Philadelphia, brotherly love. There is storge, the love that exists between a father or a parent and his child. Then there's the agape, which is the God kind of what? Love. So I can say that I philia ice cream, but I ero and agape my wife. There's distinction. Are you with me? It is the same sense here when we start looking at life. But if you don't take care, you will say life is the same. Have you heard people say, get a life? Which one are they talking about? Get a life. It's like you don't have life. And I think they have a sense that there's some life that is important. The problem is they might be referring to the wrong kind of what? Life. Amen. John says, I am writing to you because I have handled this word of life. I have touched him. I have experienced him. I've come to that place where I realize that if you stay with him, something happens in your life. So let me define the Zoe kind of life again. In John chapter 14, verse 6, anybody to quote it? I am there. I am the way, the truth, and the. He's not talking about bios there. He's not talking about suke there. He's talking about Zoe. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the Zoe. That is the context of the word life in that place. What is Jesus saying? So let's define the word Zoe. It's a nice name for people, but it means more. Amen. Anybody here call Zoe? Zoe refers to the uncreated, because bios is created. Suke is created. But Zoe is what? Uncreated. It is the uncreated eternal life of God, the divine life uniquely possessed by God. You can only have this life through a relationship with Jesus. And that is why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and their life. And John is saying that I encountered this life and it made it possible for me to have fellowship, to have intimacy with him. So what necessitates the intimacy is the eternal life. And there are many people who are not able to have intimacy with God because they don't have what? Eternal life. They have bios, they have suke, but they don't have the Zoe kind of life. I call it, this is the eternal dimension of life. It is not just an ordinary life. It is one, the eternal one, dimension of life. And I want you to understand today that most people tend to think that when they become born again and they get serious with God, some reason, some way, somehow, we are trying to take life from them. So you realize Christians don't like being serious because it's as if he's serious, he can't go to a party. It is not about the suke. It is not about the bio. It is about the Zoe kind of life. I've said this and I'll say it again. If the only burger you have is the one they sell in the fast food restaurant, go and try Kobe Burger and you realize you have not eaten burgers. Somebody is wondering, what did he just say? Whatever is in there is different. It's very what? Different. So when people start telling you, I need you to get life, they often mean the first two. Mostly they are not referring to the last one, which is important. When you, as a child of God, have the Zoe kind of life, the Bible says you will have joy. Everybody say joy. Say that with me again, joy. Ask the person sitting next to you, are you joyful? You want to answer them? Please answer truthfully. There are many people who believe that happiness and joy are the same. It's not true. Happiness is based on what is what? Happening. There are three kinds of happiness. There's what I call sin happiness. Then there is synthetic happiness. When you smoke, then that makes you happy. Hush. Then there is stuff happiness. When you have a lot of stuff, cars, houses. And most of you, you have all kinds of things. Yet you are still unhappy. It tells you that real happiness, which we call joy, the real one, does not come by synthetic objects like cigars. And people will go and make laws and they fight over stuff thinking that gives you happiness. When has sin given anybody happiness? Let's go to the party and let's just kick it out. You wake up the next morning and realize with your hangover that you are not a happy chap. Intimacy with God gives you real joy. I pray that you learn it. I have eaten the joy burger, so I don't want to put up with the synthetic burger. It doesn't work right. Do you understand what I'm saying? The average Christian does not worship. We are only just emotional. Praise the Lord. That felt so good. For how many minutes? Few seconds. I'm talking about joy, not what? Happiness. The scripture says, John says, when we met Jesus, when we lived with him, when we went through places with him, when we were on the ship with him, when he was sleeping, when the waves and the storms were coming in, he says we touched him. We had that level of intimacy with the guy. And it because he gave us eternal life. That is what gave us the access to him. And once we had it, we had joy. We were mere fishermen, but we were happy. We were on top of the world. So I bet you, what you have will never make you happy. When people are not married, they think that when they get married, they will be happy. A lie? Till they get married. Then they realize, I think I deceived myself. I just deceived myself because now the thing I want is here, but I can't enjoy it. If only I get a big house and I will sleep. They get a big house. They get electronic. The one we sleep on, they call it an electronic where they can adjust who is snoring and who is not snoring kind of thing. They have all these expensive, awesome pillows that they, but they wake up in the morning and they are as sad as something else. Joy does not come from things. Say that with me. Joy does not come from things. Joy does not come from synthetic objects. Right? Say that with me. Cigars, cocaine, crack, marijuana. People call it recreation, all kinds of things. Thinking that will make them happy, but they are still sad. There are some who are even changing their bodies, mutilating their bodies. Forgetting that you pay a hefty price for touching something God has made. I've seen young people rushing after 18 years to become independent and adults, only to realize that, what kind of mistake did I make? Because this bills, man, it's not good. And sometimes if they had the chance and they put their pride on the side, they would have returned to their parents. We'll come back home. I mean, if you come back home, I accept you. I only give you new rules. Now that you work and you think you are mature, here are the bills. This is your portion. The fact that I'm your father doesn't mean you come for free. That ain't happening. Now you work. And we set the rules and how the same way you used to have curfew, you will have some because you live in my house. If you don't want it, go rent your place. Sometimes we are rushing to be happy. Like Eve, we want to be like God, only to have the thing and realize. I am sure those who, the day they passed the marijuana law and make it recreation, I'm sure there were people who were rejoicing. Did you watch the news? Now they've been smoking and it's coming out of their nostrils and they are still not happy. Because the God who made you has told you what it takes to give you that perpetual happiness called joy. That one, you can't buy it. It can never be bought. I traveled a couple of days ago to speak somewhere, and they gave me a very nice hotel. In fact, when I walked into the room, I said, ooh, man, I wish I brought Diana with me. This place looks good. Jeez. All night, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep because my Diana was not there. So I said, why didn't they just give me some cheap room? Because cheap room, expensive room, I can't sleep. Human beings, we are always after something to make us happy. Please get off the high horse. Life is not about your happiness. We can have joy, but it is only in Him. In Him. Amen. Are you learning anything today? So the Apostle John says, that which we have seen Jesus. We have handled Him. We've been with Him. All right? Intimacy with Him made it possible for us to have joy. He says, eternal life opens the door for intimacy. And intimacy will give you what? Joy. Intimacy with God. Intimacy with what? Intimacy with who? Intimacy with who? Yeah. So spend time in prayer, only worshiping Him because you want to know Him. Because sin, stuff, and all the synthetic stuff is not going to get you anywhere. Amen. Have you ever said that the day I move out of the apartment and I buy my house, I'll be happy. I'll be a first-time home buyer. And I will get the tax credit from the government. I will be so excited until they show you the water bill. If you have children, then it's a whole different ball game. Have you ever seen it before? I told my children, when you start making money proper, the first thing I want you to pay is water bill. So you will know how to regulate the water. You will not just go and stand in there and turn it on, and you are standing in there, and you are having fun. Because when I start taking your money to pay for that bill, you will think again. Have you ever bought that new house and then realized the new house didn't make you happy? Because we tend to think that certain things will make us, but God says those things will not. He knows what He's saying. So we better follow Him. Amen. So John says, what you need is joy. Everybody say joy. Okay, now, this is one of my working definitions. We are going to define joy, and I will define it my way. I always have my working definitions based on how I have suffered in life and how I came to a conclusion. Joy is the sense of undisturbed peace, purpose, contentment, and well-being. Joy is a sense of what? Undisturbed peace and purpose and contentment and well-being, coupled with a positive expectation and anticipation of God's best for my life in every situation. Joy is a sense of undisturbed what? Peace. What else? Purpose. Uh-huh. Contentment. And well-being. A positive anticipation for God's best in my life in every situation. Joy is a sense of undisturbed. Come on, talk to me. I want you to memorize it. Joy is a sense of undisturbed peace. I have peace because I am not disturbed, despite what is going on. And that is not something that God is going to do for you. You have to make a decision that in spite of the things that are going on, you choose not to be worried. Did you guys hear me? That's how joy works. I think it's in the book of Acts 26. Paul was before King Agrippa and he was making his defense. And this is what he said. The guy was in jail. He says, I think myself happy. That's what Paul said. So joy is the sense of undisturbed what? So everything may be going bad, but if you choose to say, I'm going to stay positive, and you can't do it by your head. So in the place, in the crucible of intimacy with God, when you go on your knees and you lift up your hands and you say, God, I know there are things that bother me, but I'm not here to talk about those things. I have come here today to declare that you are my God. You are over and above the issues that confront me. Joy is a sense of undisturbed peace. You realize that all of a sudden God gives you the kind of peace you need, even though that thing may not have been sorted out. That is why we have women who are not married, but they are peaceful because they know that their joy is not in a man. If that man can't love himself, how is he going to love you? If that woman cannot love herself, how is she going to love you? So joy is the sense of undisturbed one. You choose to be happy. Choose it. It's a decision you have to make. You know, sometimes you're... Maybe I can get into trouble for this one. Sometimes your hormones and your emotions is both ways. So we all have hormones, men and women. You will start detecting the pace. And you go hide in your corner. I'm not too happy. I'm not too happy. I am not too happy. Catch yourself and say, yeah, I'm not too happy, but I am going to be what? Mm-hmm. If you can't catch yourself, that's where you go on your knees. And you say, Lord, I have come. And you begin to worship him. And you begin to lift him up. And God is obligated that once you are in his presence, everybody turn your Bible to the book of Psalm 16. Look at verse 11. He says, in your presence, there is what? Fullness of joy. Once you stay in his presence, God is going to unleash his joy on you. You meet many people. Oh, I want to be happy. I want to be so joyful. But the last thing you do is to go to the presence of God. When the solution to the very thing you are looking for, that's where it is. And you have reasons. It is because people don't like me. You don't like people either. They are always on my case. You've been on their case. You just haven't opened your mouth yet. It's in your head. Joy is a stance of what? Undisturbed peace. I found out that anytime I guard my peace, I'm going to be happy. So if you come into my life and I realize you want to mess around with my peace, I'm not going to let you stay. Amen? Can I give you an example? In the book of John chapter 2, Jesus attends a wedding. You remember that? When he goes to the wedding, we are told that the wine at the wedding got finished. Let's say that the wine is symbolic of joy in the marriage. Because that's a marriage contest, correct? Now, if you look at Jewish weddings, you would understand that it is not one day. It's a long period. Sometimes it lasts more than a week. So there's real planning that goes into it. So the situation that happened with the wine getting finished, there has to be a reason as to why that happened. Guess what? There were people who were gate crashers. Do you understand gate crashers? They were not invited and they invited themselves. Sometimes there are uninvited guests in your life.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.